Well, good morning, church. It is wonderful to be here. Welcome, and good morning to everybody who's joining us live as we stream this service over Facebook and our app and the website. Boy, it is a beautiful day. It really is. It's good to see you, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out here. What a wonderful, beautiful day. And a great way to spend the morning is in fellowship with one another, worship of the Lord. I want to read something that comes out of the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. It says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels." It goes on to say that she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Moms have one of the most difficult jobs, if not the most difficult job in the world. And that is because they keep us alive when we're at an age where we would try anything to change that. I remember being a kid and all the things that we would do that we probably should have been severely hurt at least, but it seems that boys are on a mission to kill themselves. And so thank you personally, thank you to all the moms who kept that from happening. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Our building is still closed, but the bathrooms over here at the red doors, they're open if you need to use those. We just ask everybody keep the social distance going on. If you would like to give this morning, we have our offering boxes. Those brown vertical agape boxes is what we call those that are scattered through the U-shaped driveway. And we're going to praise the Lord this morning. And so I invite you to stand as we do that very thing. Let's praise the Lord on His day.
Mighty and so much stronger, the King of Glory, the Is the only one who can make sense of what we're going through right now. You might be, I don't know what your situation is this morning. I don't know what needs you may have. But it's a comfort to me to know that when I'm going through something hard, that I can rest in the security, in the comfort of the grace of God. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for bringing us all here this morning. I thank you for just the beautiful sunshine, Lord, and this beautiful day that we can come and worship you, Lord. And Lord, many of us here this morning may be in need of something, Lord, from you, or some extra grace, some extra peace, Lord, in this time. We ask that, and we know that we will find that in you. God is a consumer.
Keep our eyes. Amen, amen. Would you please be seated? It is just great to be gathered here together this morning. It was much chillier at 8 o'clock this morning. Wind was blowing. I was shivering a little bit, but it is a gorgeous day outside. It's great to be gathered together as the body of Christ. We're going to have our Good News Mystery Box now. And kids, I'm going to encourage you to stay where you're at, but I'm going to pull out the Mystery Box item. And whatever's in here, I'm going to try and to relate that to Jesus. So the good news, that is Jesus Christ. So today we have... Whoa, that is a cool toy. We have a John Deere. What is the name of this? I'm not good with things. What is this?
Excavator.
An excavator. I know what you use it for. So this is an excavator. So you place it on the ground, and it would be used to dig things up. Now, as a kid, a lot of kids really like to get in the dirt. Who likes getting in the dirt? Raise your hand. Still? Wow. I hate the dirt. But as a kid, I loved it. I would love a toy like this where you can dig things up. You can use it to dig things up, move dirt around, and make things that are new. See, an excavator would be used if you needed to move dirt from one spot to another. And it would be used to help build things. You'd use it to dig holes and trenches. See, this has a lot of different functions, a lot of different tools. You can use this for a lot of different things. But primarily what this is used for, as I said, is to dig. It's used to dig and to get rid of dirt and move dirt around. Now, in your life, there might be something that God is trying to dig out of you. Might be something that you're doing that he's continually convicting you of, that you know that you're sinning and you shouldn't be doing that, something that you shouldn't be doing that is bad. So when you think of an excavator, remember, it's being used to dig things up, but God wants you to stop sinning, to get the things in your life that are bad out of your life. So kids, I want to... have you guys look up here for a second. I can see my kids in the back over there just wandering around. But guys, we're going to pray, okay? Can we fold our hands, close our eyes, and bow our heads? God, I'm so thankful that you are able to get rid of the sin in our lives. Father, that we can turn to you, and through your strength, we are able to serve you. Father, that we can love others because you first loved us. God, thank you for your mercy and grace. I pray for these kids who are here and those who are at home. I ask, God, that you would continue to give them patience with their parents as they're parenting patience with them, that they would continue to be able to love you and to show your love through action. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, Pastor Colin's going to come up here. We're going to have our announcements right now. Thank you very much, Kim, for the excavator. I'm going to keep that. My kids will love it. I'm just kidding.
You killed my water.
Sorry.
That's okay. Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to see you, and welcome, and happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We're in the book of Romans this morning. If you have your Bible, we're in the book of Romans, chapter 14, and we're going to be continuing in our series called The New Normal. And that's because we're living in times that will present a new normal way of living for all of us. The coronavirus will change life as we know it. And so there will be adaptation, there will be change, there will be a new normal. So we're in the book of Romans chapter 14 this morning. And while you're getting there, just a couple of quick reminders. Every single day, except for Sunday, of course, at 10:30, we live stream devotions online through Facebook or our app or the website. And currently, we are going through the book of Romans, and we're going line by line, verse by verse, every single day. So we invite you to join us for that. Also, we do appreciate all of your continued prayers and your continued support of the ministry here at Shepherd of the Hills. You know, we're giving out these grocery bags every week. We're giving out these COVID-19 masks. We're ministering to people. We're reaching our community. And we're doing that because of the partnership that we have together as a church family. So thank you all for that. You can give a number of ways, whether it's to our missions or to the ministry. You can do it online. You can do it through our mobile app. You can do it through these agape boxes that we have scattered around the driveway. And this month is obviously the month of May, and we do have a couple of missionaries that we want to highlight, and they're Jeff and Karen Grant. They're down in Florida, and they're part of an organization called CRU. Now, CRU stands for Campus Crusades for Christ, and they evangelize the world around them. They go to military bases, college campuses. They deal in the sporting arenas. They deal with all kinds of people in the cities and everywhere. I think they're in over 100 countries around the world, and that's where they're serving. Jeff and Karen Grant, we've supported them from our church for a number of years, and so we're happy to continue to do that. Our vision project for this month are Joel and Melanie Dewey. They're up in Michigan, and they're with a group called Life Action Ministries, and what they're trying to do is encourage people to live an authentic Christian life, to actually live out their faith in a way that the world can see. Right now, they're raising support so that they can go full-time into the ministry, and we're supporting them here as one of our vision projects for this particular month. So we do encourage you, check that out. You can read about those people. Also, if you haven't already done it on your smartphone, you can download our mobile app, and there's all kinds of things that you can get on our mobile app. You can give there. You can read about our missionaries there. You can follow the devotions there. You can get our online bulletin there, which has the song list for the worship songs we play on Sunday outside here, so you can follow along and sing and do all kinds of things. You can also submit prayer requests there, and that's another big thing that we've been encouraging people to do, is to send in their prayer requests, and you can do that however it is you get it to us, on the website at soth.church, or on the mobile app, or just emailing the pastors, or even just calling. That's fine too. And what we do is we share those as you ask us to on our morning devotions, and we rally the troops in prayer for you. And we do actually have a prayer request. This one kind of came out as an email from a woman named Jen Schuick. Now, she works over at Genesis Pregnancy Center, and she helps run that ministry, and we've supported Genesis for a long time here at the church. And she's actually asking prayer for a specific family. This is a woman who has found out that she's pregnant. She's a Hindu woman, and she is unsure that her husband wants her to carry the baby to term because of their financial stress and all kinds of things. So Genesis is reaching out to this particular woman and reminding her that for the first 3 years of the baby's life, Genesis will come in and support and provide all of the child's needs for those first 3 years, which is an impressive commitment that they've made. But prayer for that family, and prayer for all the other women right now who are dealing with these surprise pregnancies and they're not quite sure what to do about them. We also ask prayer for our frontline workers, so to say, our healthcare workers, the people who are connected to our church, who are working in all of these arenas where they're in constant contact with customers and public. Pray for all of the people in the hospitals and for all the patients and for our leaders, for our governors, for our president, for the Congress, for all of those folks who are dealing with all of what's going on. We just ask that you would pray for wisdom for them and guidance, that they would follow the Lord's will and everything. And then, of course, we ask prayer that this would pass quickly and that we would be restored again to regular worship, regular fellowship. And remember, when we come back, it's our new schedule. It's 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11, because we want to be able to spread out in the building, and we can't do that with our current schedule and our current level of attendance. So we need to add a service. Wonderful problem to have. Honestly, it's just a blessing to have that kind of a thing, but that's what we're doing, along with a number of other things to make sure that the building is safe, to make sure that you all are safe. And you can read about those updates on our website as well at soth.church. Just click on the COVID-19 health and safety update. It's the first banner that pops up when you get there. You can read all about what we're doing. But we are glad to have you here. And as I said before, we are in the book of Romans this morning, Romans chapter 14. And let's pray together as we get started. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the opportunity to come together and to worship as you have given us. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us during this time, that our ears would be opened, that our heart would be opened, that our minds would be opened, and that we would be ready to receive the word that you have given us through your Bible. And we pray, Father, that as we open it this morning and we read the words of the text, that it would fall on our hearts, that it would affect our lives. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together, even in the way that we have, for the wonderful weather that you have blessed us with, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the mothers who are here. And this is Mother's Day. And Lord, we just give all the praise to you for equipping the moms to do the hard work of rearing up children. And we thank you for that. We know the sacrifices that they endure day in and day out, the sleepless nights, the fevers, the Tylenol that has to be given out sometimes, the driving to school because the kids are sick, and all the other things that mothers do and don't think twice about. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for their service. And we pray that you would bless them, that you would bless us all, and that you would be with us this morning as we give this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, we're in the book of Romans this morning. Romans chapter 14. I want to talk about walking in love as being part of the new normal way of living. It's no secret that our society right now is very polarized. And some people would even go so far as to say that we are as polarized as America was during the Civil War, that we are as divided as a people as the colonies were during the revolution from Great Britain. It's no secret. There is division in the world right now. And oftentimes, as people, we divide over stuff that we shouldn't be dividing over. We divide over things like who we vote for. We divide over economics. We divide over our environment and how we use our natural resources. We divide over parenting. We divide over education and social justice issues. We divide over religion. We divide over where we get our news from. We divide over gender and social media. And the list goes on and on and on. And recently, our culture has been divided over the issue of coronavirus and what we're doing about it. Some people would say that the government has gone way too far. Other people would say it hasn't done nearly enough. There are people right now who are saying we should open up and other people who are saying we should stay closed. And then there are some who even say that this is all one big conspiracy. Here in our state of Pennsylvania, if you're following the news, you know that portions of our state have gone from the governor's red to yellow phase, and some counties that have remained red have decided that they were going to open up anyway. And so we have division in every level of life. And it's gotten to the point where cities are suing their states. States are closing the cities. People are at each other's throat. Neighbors are turning on one another. I was speaking with one of our local law enforcement officers this week here in the parking lot. It was actually, I believe, on Monday, and we were just talking about what was going on, and I was sharing with him our plans to keep doing these outdoor services until we can get back in the building, and they're good with that. But he was telling me that during this particular time, they have seen a couple of things kind of trend upwards. Domestic violence and neighbors complaining on one another. He said he went to a call not too recently where a neighbor looked out their window and they noticed more cars in the driveway than are normally there, and they assumed there would be more than 10 people in the home, and so they took it upon themselves to call the police. Well, the police don't have a choice but to respond, and it turned out there was nothing going on that was wrong, because the stay-at-home, the separation stuff doesn't apply in an individual's home. And so there was nothing that the people were doing that was wrong. But as they investigated, what they found out was it was even more innocent than that. It was a child's birthday party, and the people there were their cousins and their sisters and their direct family. But that's what we have gotten to in America. Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, a house divided cannot stand. And Paul says in Romans 16, watch out for those who cause divisions and avoid them. Did you know that when David was king of Israel, Israel was united? Solomon rose up and became king after him, and it was a great time of peace and unity. In fact, that was why Solomon was allowed to build the temple, was because his reign was filled with war, and Solomon's reign would be filled with peace and harmony, and it was that way until he died. And then his sons took over the kingdom, and they couldn't agree, and they argued, and they divided Israel. And even now, some 2,000 years later, although Israel is now one nation, they never again saw peace from that. In Proverbs chapter 16, it says, there are six things God hates. And it lists five. And on number six, it says, one who sows discord among his brothers. And so rather than sowing discord, rather than settling into a habit of bitterness toward one another, rather than becoming enemies with our neighbors, I want to encourage you to make it a new habit of normal living to walk in love, to walk in grace with one another. And that's what this message is all about this morning, walking in love with each other. And I think right about now we could be reminded of that, because these are very stressful times and people are on edge and they are worried. I walked into a store the other day, and I can tell you that since we've had the mandatory masks in stores and stuff, I've been into a store maybe 3 times since then. It's not very often. I don't go out to the store to begin with very often, and even less now. And so I jumped out of my truck. I wasn't even thinking about it, and I didn't put on a mask. It was in my truck right there in the center console, but I wasn't thinking, no excuse, but I jumped out and walked into the business. I didn't get 12 inches across the threshold of the door before the clerk started screaming at me from behind the counter to get out of his restaurant and go back to my truck before I came back and to go get a mask. And that's what we're dealing with. And so I want to encourage you to be patient with people, to be gracious with people, to walk in love with people. Colossians chapter 4 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each other. It's easy to go off on someone. It's easy to lose our temper with someone and become hostile with them because they've done something we don't like. Maybe they were rude. Maybe they were hostile. It's not easy to walk in love. It can be hard, but we're not called to take the easy way out as Christians. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and few people will find it. And so do the hard thing. Walk the narrow path. Walk in love. Have grace with each other. Even when someone is getting under your skin, even when they're getting on your nerves. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 to bear one another's burdens. It's no secret. People will sometimes feel like a burden to you. Have grace with them. Walk in love with them. And that's why I've asked you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 14 today, because in this chapter, Paul gives us some incredible instruction on how we should be walking in love with each other. And one of the very first things we notice about walking in love is that walking in love requires giving liberty to other people. Notice what it says in chapter 14, verse 1. So as for the one who is weak in the faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Back in the 1600s in Europe, there was major religious division going on. It was only about 100 years after the Reformation of Martin Luther, and that brought religion to the forefront of people's lives in ways that they had never seen before. Houses were against their neighbors. Whole areas were against whole areas. There was great division in this time. And so a German pastor decided that he would respond to that. And he goes by the name of Rupertus Meldenius. And Rupertus Meldenius wrote on a tract one time a phrase that would be cemented in history and quoted often. And it goes like this: in the essentials, have unity. In the non-essentials, have liberty. In all things, have charity. Or in other words, have love. There will be things in life that are not vital, that are non-essential, as they say, that good people of faith will disagree over. Right now, there is a major debate going on amongst pastors regarding whether giving communion over the internet is biblically correct. And there's different opinions and there's different views, and that's just one area where people differ. Other things like baptism and the end times and creation are all areas where different opinions tend to come out and different views, and that's okay. Somebody said one time, if two people agree on everything all the time, one of them isn't thinking. We're going to have a difference of opinion on some things than our fellow believers. We will have different views. We will have different perspectives. It will be important to us. And it's okay that we have different opinion. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. If it's one thing that we can learn about God's creation, and sitting out here right now, looking around at the leaves come in and the wind blow and the grass on the ground, is that God seems to enjoy variety. I was looking up this week and I found out that there are 12,000 different species of grass. There are 60,000 different species of trees and more than 4 million different species of flower. Did you know that in your Bible there were more than 40 different authors who wrote a portion of it? They used 3 different languages. That's why there's 4 Gospels. That's why there's 12 tribes. That's why we read about the variety of spiritual gifts. In Romans chapter 12, it says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, having gifts that differ. And the point is, that's okay. Every person will have a different relationship with God. Every person will have a different set of convictions. They will have different life experience. Every person will look at the world around them in a different way. That's okay. Did you know when you get to heaven, there will be people there that you did not agree with here on earth? And guess what else? You won't care. It won't matter. And so here, Paul says in verse 7, none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And notice what he says about that very thing back in verse 3. Let no one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let no one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? In other words, just because someone doesn't think the way you do, in other words, just because someone doesn't act the way we do, they don't see life the same as we do, doesn't give any person a license to pass judgment. It says in verse 12, each of us will give an account to God. It says in verse 10, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Another way to put it would be this: walk in love, walk in grace, especially when it comes to people you might not agree with. Because walking in love requires giving liberty and making room for the differences that we have as children of Almighty God. Right now, our communities are filled with people who have different views about everything that's going on. Some people say that the politicians are doing the right thing. Other people say that they've done too much. Other people say it's not enough. Some are worried their freedoms are being taken away. Some people are worried because they might be at higher risk than others. Other people might not think that it's as bad as they say it is on TV. Other people say that it's their right to take the risk and take the chances with their own life. And in all of this difference and in all of this division, we see the claws start to come out. We see it on social media. We see the name-calling, the insults. We see how people are short with one another. There's bitterness toward one another. There's protests and violence and rebellion in the news. And so I want to encourage you to walk in love, to walk with grace with one another, to make room for these differences that we're going to see, these different views, and understand that we might not look at things the same way as everyone else. That's okay. It's okay to disagree agreeably. And so walk in love. Give liberty to others. The second thing we notice is that walking in love requires limiting our behavior for others. We give liberty to others. We limit our behavior for others. Notice what it says beginning in verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide to never put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because he is eating not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. There's an old saying that goes, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says something very similar. He says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, But not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. And I think it would be good for us to be reminded of that, especially when it comes to a person's individual liberty, especially when it comes to our ability to do something that could have the potential to harm someone else, whether spiritually or physically. We need to be mindful of our actions that affect other people. There are some people who, for whatever reason it might be, it could be conviction, it could be a bad experience, it could be that they're susceptible to temptation, they don't do certain things that other people are free to do. A recovering alcoholic, for example, probably would not go into a bar. A person who's addicted to online gambling might choose to not have the internet. A person who struggles with anger because of political issues might choose not to have those conversations with other people. I might be able to go into a bar with no problem. I might be able to have the internet in my home with no problem. I might be able to discuss politics with no problem. And maybe it doesn't affect me like it does someone else. But because as Christians we walk in love, we limit our behavior. So we don't put our brothers and sisters in compromising positions. I would sacrifice some of my liberty in love for the other person. Be sure that in living your life, you don't let your liberty become someone else's liability. Freedom can become sinful if it's used in a way that brings harm to someone else. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Or consider what it says in Proverbs chapter 25. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. And so we need to be mindful how our actions affect others. We need to be willing to walk in love by voluntarily choosing to limit our liberty and our behavior when it means it might bring harm to someone else. And right now, it could be more important than almost ever before in our lives. And that's because we're living in unprecedented times and people are scared. And that's understandable. And some people are more vulnerable. And some people are at greater risk. Some people are more susceptible to contracting this virus. And so it becomes an act of sacrificial love to limit our behavior in consideration for another person's risk and their fear, even if it's something we don't share. And so we do things voluntarily that might seem to go overboard. They tell us to stay home except when you have to. They tell us to avoid personal contact, to socially distance, wear masks when you go into stores. And we don't do it because we're forced to by the law. As Christians, we do it because we're walking in love. And that means limiting our behavior for the sake of other people. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." And so walking in love means giving liberty to other people. It means limiting our behavior for other people. And finally, we do it all out of a sense of genuine care about other people. Notice what it says back in verse 19. "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." It might be a self-evident thing in a message called walking in love, but everything we do should be done in love. And I mean with a genuine heart, with a genuine care for our neighbor. That doesn't mean that we do it resentfully. That doesn't mean we do it angrily. That doesn't mean we do it hostily, but rather we do these things with an honest compassion for the people around us. We do it cheerfully. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "God loves a cheerful giver." And so be a cheerful giver. Have you ever asked somebody for help and they agreed, but then the whole time they're helping, they're doing nothing but complain. And they're telling you how inconvenient it is and how they could be doing something else. Or maybe they start criticizing what you're doing and how you're doing it. And they make it clear that although they're there, their heart isn't in it. They don't want to be there. They'd rather be doing anything else in life at that moment. Don't be like that person. That's not encouraging. That's not building up. That doesn't help. That doesn't communicate love. In Psalm chapter 100, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. And so here it says, let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. We're not doing things in life because we have to. We're doing it because we choose to, out of love for our neighbor. And that means that we're not making people feel like burdens. That means that we don't make them feel like a problem or a chore. That doesn't build. That doesn't edify. And so consider that. If you're ever in a position where you really don't want to be there and you don't want to be helping, but you're there anyway and you don't like what it is that you're doing, I want to encourage you to remember that. To remember that even though this may be a little inconvenience for you, you're helping someone who really needs it. Remember that you're showing them the love of Jesus through your action. That you're coming alongside somebody in a time of personal crisis in their life. I want to encourage you to find satisfaction in knowing that you are being the hands and the feet of God. You remember in the Gospel of John when Jesus kneeled down and washed the feet of the disciples? He didn't have to do that. He wasn't forced to do that. He was their teacher. He was their creator. He was their master, their Lord, their Savior. And yet he still kneeled down for the sake of building them up and put an apron around his waist and did the work of a servant and washed their feet. And it was because he had a genuine desire to make them better. And so he served them. And then he says, after it was all done in John 13, for I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. I want to encourage you to remember that. I want to encourage you to walk in love for one another, to be patient with each other when we have different views about things that can be very contentious in our society. I want to encourage you to be mindful of how your actions will affect your neighbor, whether it's their health, whether it's their fear, their spiritual development, whatever it may be. And I want to also encourage you to not make someone feel that you resent it. I want to encourage you to serve in love out of a genuine desire to help someone else. To make this walking in love stuff the new normal way of living. And let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you walked in such a great love for us and that you gave us an example, that you gave us a model, that you showed us how it was that we should be walking in love with other people. We thank you, Lord, that you humbled yourself, that you went to a cross. You didn't have to do that. And never once along the way did you make people feel bad about it. You didn't lord it over them. And so, Father, we pray that as our society continues and as we move forward in this recovery phase from this coronavirus, that we would be mindful of the example that you set. That we would understand there will be people at different levels of risk and heightened awareness and fear and concern, that we would be aware of that and that we would limit what it is that we do so as to not put a stumbling block in their path, whether it's physical, whether it's health related, whether it's emotional or intellectual, or it's anything to do with their spiritual growth. Father, we pray that we would be loving the way that you loved us. And we pray, Lord, that we would find a genuine gladness in helping our neighbor, even when it does mean limiting ourselves, even when it is a little inconvenient, that we would find joy and pleasure and satisfaction in the fact that we are being your hands and your feet, that we are walking in love as Jesus walked in love. And we pray that you be with us, that you guard us, Father, that you protect us, that you guide us, that you settle our hearts as we leave from here today. We thank you so much for the weather and for the opportunity to come and worship. We thank you again for all the moms on this Mother's Day. And we pray that you would protect them and that you would fill their hearts with a warm sense of Holy Spirit provided joy. Lord, we thank you and we ask all of these things and we give all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand as we close this morning? And thank you all for coming. And again, happy Mother's Day. Just as an announcement, we're going to do these outside services. Our plan is to do these weekly, weather permitting. And so if it looks like it's going to rain or it looks like it's going to be bad weather, we'll have to not do these outside services. Instead, then you'll be able to catch them live stream online. But as long as the weather is nice and as long as we're able, this is our plan. So just plan on coming out each week and bring in your lawn chair and keeping the distance. We'll continue to have those bathrooms open and we'll keep gathering together as we safely can and praising the Lord. So we look forward to seeing you then. Heavenly Father, we do thank you one more time for this afternoon and this morning and for this time that you have given us. We could not ask for a nicer day. So Lord, we do give you all the praise for that. And we thank you. And Father, as we go from here, we pray that you be with us. We pray that you would instill in our hearts an attitude of love for one another, a love and a sense of patience and grace, especially given the times in which we live, the type of love and patience that you have with us. The Bible says that you are long-suffering, that you are patient, that you are enduring, and we pray that we would be likewise. So, Father, as we leave from here, we just ask that you would be with us, that you would protect us. We ask your protection over all of those in the healthcare field, all of those emergency responders, all of those people who continue to go into work, whatever it is that they're doing, day in and day out, so that our societies can continue. And we thank you, Lord, that it looks like the numbers are trending the right direction, and that we look forward to the time that we can gather as normal. Father, we ask that you would bless the moms, especially on this Mother's Day. We thank you for their work and for their service and their sacrifice and for their love. And we thank you for yours that you gave us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.